Hi. So, good morning. Sorry, we're starting a little late because of me. Lord, thank you so much. We just want to thank the Lord for us for being here today. We're going to continue a series on how we can get off the path. And today we're continuing our whole theme this year on prayer. And what I thought we'd do is we can kind of pray for our different ministries within our church. So we prayed this morning, but also let's pray as a congregation and the ministries that we have, for example, Sunday morning service or teen group, missions, Awana, whatever it might be, whatever the Lord brings to your heart. Let's just lift that up to the Lord this morning. So, Lord, we do lift up the ministries of Glen Arbor to you and ask that you would bless them, Lord. And I want to lift up the teen group to you, ask that you would thank you that we were able to have our Nerf Wars here yesterday and were able to have visitors come. And I pray, Lord, that you're affecting people through that. And I pray that you're affecting young people through that, through the relationships, through the hearing about your word, through the characters of the individuals in it. I just ask that you would bless that ministry. Amen. Again, thank you, Lord Jesus, for these ministries and ask that you would bless them. And I do ask for the Sunday morning service that you would just unite us in worshiping you in spirit and truth. Thank you for the music team. Ask that you bless them and help them to lead us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, guys. That was a nice time of worship. Maybe we just turn to each other and pray for the person next to you. And if you don't pray out loud, that's okay. Just pray silently. But just take a minute and just pray for each other, for all that we go through. I know I have this condition in my arm that I developed a couple weeks ago called calcified tendonitis, which is painful. It's like a little rock of calcium in my tendon. And so I'm feeling wounded. One of the guys at work said, because I had a sling on for a while, and was like, "Mike, what happened to your left wing?" And I said, "Well, I'm dealing with this," but I think spiritually we are as well, as we were singing this morning. So many things that are difficult for us. Our wings are out, you know, like if we're in an airplane, we're flying, we get hit. We get hit spiritually, we get hit emotionally, hit physically. So just take a minute and just pray for each other, just for what all we're going through. Amen. How many of you guys feel like you need prayer from each other regularly? Yeah, I think so, for sure. So we are today, I'm keeping the announcement short because we are having kind of an extended announcement time during lunch. We're going to have a potluck. We're going to have our normal service with an all church breaking of bread during the service. Then afterwards, immediately afterwards, you're all invited to potluck lunch. And a little ways into the potluck lunch, we're going to start presenting you some core church topics where we just talk about some of the things that the Lord's doing. Dean's going to give us an update on Educare, so you kind of hear what's going on there. Greg's going to be talking about some of our summer plans. And then I'm going to be talking a little bit about three purposes of the church and how the metaphor of an airplane and a wounded wing fit in with that. Okay, so look forward to that. That'll be during lunch. We invite you all to that. And then Wednesday, we kick off our CLT time here. Awana's over, so our normal Wednesday night at 7, but it'll be for the college crew. And we look forward to seeing you guys there. Enjoy the rest of the service. Those of you in Sunday school, you can leave now, and then we'll have offering forward at this time as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, music team. Wasn't that a great music set for this morning, just to get us all ready for what the Lord has for us? We're continuing our series on getting off the path, not how to get off the path, but what to do if we do get off the path. And this is, again, the series is based loosely on this book, Mistakes Leaders Make, but they're not the mistakes just that leaders can make, but anyone can make. And Our theme verse that at least I've been using is, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." So we're kind of like, let's look at ourselves, seeing what are we really thinking, what are we really, what's really inside, particularly on this topic. I really looked at myself and thought, wow, this is maybe an area I could definitely grow in. Particularly because we've talked about ministry over Jesus or idols over Jesus already, and then we talked about comparing over contentment, pleasing people over pleasing God, and this is kind of similar to this subject, a little bit similar to that, hurting people over hungry leaders, and frugality over faith. And today we're talking about artificial harmony over corrective conflict. So, well, what does that mean? Well, I thought it. The book has a story, and I'll tell that story. But it's a story I'm somewhat familiar with. It's the story of Brian, and Brian is he's the worship team leader, and he's a brand new worship team leader. And he's kind of grown up in the church. He's always that guy that you just is dependable. He's the kind of person that like, well, I can always depend on Brian. He's so faithful. He's so good. He's so kind. I know that whatever I'll ask of him, he'll do it. He'll really get out of his way to do it for you. And that's the kind of, and Brian is, he plays the piano and he plays the guitar and he sings and he loves worshiping the Lord. And it's like, wow, he's good. Let's put him on the music team. Okay, Brian loves to be on the music team. And in fact, he gets so good at it that we just put him and make him the worship leader. And so, as with anything that you become the leader of, there's people involved that you have to lead, which it would be great. I mean, being the music team leader would be great if you didn't have a band. that you had to lead. And what the thing you find is that different people, even Christians, they have opinions about the way we should do things and what song we should play and what key it should be in and what, how do we do this transition and should it, it would sound better if we did it this way, and you don't know what you're talking about, why you're all, oh, and then it just, you know, I'm not saying that's what happens up here. But any of you who have led anything know that any kind of team that you lead, that starts to happen. There's this little bit of conflict that happens. And even in anything, and so Brian, he tries to get, okay, let's, well, we'll just do that, you know, because Susie wants to do that, so we'll start doing this. And then the congregation gets involved and says, well, Brian, we want you to do more of this. We want you to do more hymns that are rocky, or we want you to do this kind of song, or, boy, I want you to play this instead. And, you know, if you would just, and by the way, we really don't like Susie, so maybe we should get rid of her. Oh, but she's my best person. And then it just, it can't, but I can't seem to do anything about it because I can't please everybody. And so then there's these conflicts that happen in between the congregation. Maybe the pastor gets involved and is like, Brian, you need to get your team under control. Why aren't you getting them under control? And conflict begins. And instead of resolving the conflict, Brian just becomes, because he wants to keep everything at peace, he wants there to be harmony, he decides, I can't do this anymore. And he just... he drops out of ministry. And he can't be the leader anymore because he can't resolve these conflicts because they're too hard. Have you ever felt like that? I know I have, where there's so many conflicts, you feel like, oh, it would be just so much better if people would just all, can't we all get along? I mean, we heard verses to do that, and actually I was going to read a Faith Walkers that was this week. And this was on dealing with disappointment. It isn't about this particular topic, but this is by Caleb Yetton, and he's in the Rock Church in Draper, Utah. I don't know where that is, but it's in Utah. Okay, good. It exists, therefore. I'm not reading the whole thing, but what he says is, no matter how wonderful our hopes and dreams are, life is full of unexpected results. It may be that despite your best efforts, your marriage is not what you want it to be, or no matter what you do, you're losing with your kids, you feel stuck in a dead-end job, or your finances are in disarray, or do you feel betrayed by a close friend or relative? Your situation may be something much simpler or far worse, but while you're in it, you can feel that you've been let down. If it's not dealt with, this disappointment leads to resentment, bitterness, anger, apathy, and the target of these emotions can become Jesus and his people. Unfortunately, we see this play out far too many times inside the church. God's people, not the building. Understandably, miscommunications occur or expectations go unspoken. I know firsthand what it's like to be inadvertently wounded and be wounded inside the church family. I know the sound of that voice in my head that says, it would just be so much easier to leave. I can feel that way even when I know that most times the offense is completely unintended. I want to feel justified in my pain. I want to carry that hurt rather than righteously deal with it. But of course, I know this is wrong. So that is, what is the right way to deal with disappointment? He gives an answer in his second article, which I'll read later. So, we don't like dealing with conflict. In fact, we think that conflict is bad. We've heard that conflict, you know, fighting is bad. We turn the other cheek and so on. We hear verses like this. If so, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Well, that makes sense. Be peace with everybody. Don't rock the boat because that makes me seasick. So confronting people about hard things can be, well, hard. So let's just not do that. Maybe if we don't do anything, it'll all go away. The problem with that is that it can get out of control and it doesn't go away, or it gets worse, or never gets dealt with until someone really, really gets hurt. conflict just happens at different levels, and particularly when nothing gets corrected, it gets worse. And so what we're going to talk about today is corrective conflict relieves the steam, as it were, or the pressure. Corrective conflict is a leadership requirement in anything you do. If you want to be a leader, you will have to deal with conflict and correcting it. Not just conflict resolution, but enter into conflict so that it could be corrected. Conflict resolution, it starts with corrective conflict. And these are the things that we're going to talk about today. Let's pray, bow our heads and pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we just ask that you would guide us through this topic, Lord. Maybe there's someone in our lives that we need to have this conversation with. Maybe there's someone we need to reprove. Maybe there's someone that needs to reprove us. Lord, just that you would show us that in our lives and that you would help us deal with it. Lord, help us to kind of get to learn from what you have to show us this morning. I forgot to mention, there is an insert in today's bulletin, and I'd like you to have that if you could. I have my son recently returned from Calvin College here. He, of course, complained about having to work right away. But if you need a bulletin, please raise your hand, and he will get it to you. There's people way in the back. There's one right there, and he will get that for you. So these are food for thought questions, and we'll talk about these at the end. But I'd like you to have that now. So we might have things we need to talk to people about, but we don't. They said something that offended me, or I think they might be stealing, or maybe they could be more helpful. Why don't we reprove them? We call that reproof. Well, the motivation is often fear. And why is that a motivation? We talked about this before. Well, we all want to be accepted. We all want to be liked. We all want to be loved. We don't want people angry at us, because if we confront them or reprove them, they might get angry at us. So to prevent being rejected, we try and balance too many people and wear too many hats. And I've done that before. We don't want people to leave us or be mad at us. So we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. So fear is a snare. The fear of man can be a snare. I'm not saying something may be hurting us. I'm not saying something may be hurting us, the church or the family. So we may pretend that by just not saying anything that it isn't there. So we may pretend that we're all Christians here. But in reality, we're really afraid, and we don't like the environment that we've created, and it starts becoming uncomfortable. And we actually hate coming to meetings because that person will be there. And I might have to talk to them. Then we don't want to do anything about it. Right? We might even start blaming the organizations. Why did they put me with that person? How dare they? Or the church, because that artificial harmony exists, and then there's this pressure, and we can't. Sometimes we may not even know what it is. It's like, well, it must be the building is dusty, or something else. Anything but our own feelings. And so we might smile and pretend and be nice, but underneath we're scared or hateful or resentful. And we need to do conflict. Why? Because faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. So we're just pretending that we're friends, but we're really not, or that we're brothers and sisters. Well, they're not my friends, so I don't have to reprove anyone, right? Well, let's look at what God says about this area. So he says, be at peace with all men, but he also commands us to correct. This is a common verse we all hear. It says, all scripture, this is from 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching. And we will say that. We'll stop right there. Yeah, that's true. It's really good. And you should listen to it. Right? It's profitable for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent and equipped for every good work. In the New American Standard, it says, may be complete, equipped for every good work. So what is this term? What is this reproof? Well, it simply means correction or adjustment. This is what it is not. It is not name-calling. It's not your opinion or how a person should live. It is telling someone that they may be off from the path of following Christ. That's kind of what we're doing today. We're talking about what happens if you get off this path. And it assumes that that's what you want. It assumes that that's what you want. My best areas of growth have been when someone has pointed out ways for me to improve in, because most of them I didn't know about. When I was a wee Christian, I didn't know anything. So when I was in college, so I became a Christian at Michigan State University. Yes, I knew I would hear it. And Michigan State University, where great things happen. And coming from background, everyone around me was speaking vulgarity, where they were swearing, they were doing what was cool, you know, and all that. And I didn't know it was wrong. You know, it's like, well, I think that's what everybody else does. And then someone, you know, I became a Christian, I was baptized, and then someone, the guy that led me to the Lord, he pulls me aside. He says, you know, you should probably change the way you speak. Oh, should I sound more spiritual? You know, what should I do? And no, well, I think you should cut out this word, that word. So, I said, really? And I said, yeah, because you're a Christian now. You walk in a different path from all these people. I said, and frankly, I didn't know. I was like, wow, thank you for showing that to me. That was really, really good. And I didn't want to offend people. I thought, wow, that sounds like a good idea. So I changed in that. And I was so glad they didn't just let me make a fool out of myself. It's kind of like you're glad that someone, if you have, you know, like yesterday, sour cream on your face at dinner, or you have food on your face, and you just said, well, I'm not going to tell them about that, because they might be offended if I tell them. They, you know, I'm glad when someone tells me that I have some food on my face walking around. That may come to, you know, when we're out there eating, you know, and you see another person out there with food on their face, make sure you tell them, you know, to wipe it off. Didn't know. And this verse shows us that reproof improves us because it is the word we are using, and the word is truth. It is power, and it is for that. It also says that, it also says this doesn't work. Oh, because I turned it off. There we go. It says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So some of you get together, we get in LTGs, and I meet with several other men, and we talk about these things and how to help each other. You know, I really appreciate having that someone that I can rely on, that can be quiet about things, that I can pour my heart out and say, this is the areas I'm struggling with, knowing I won't be judged. That's very, very important. And knowing that, hey, here's the things you can work on. Here's a verse to encourage you. And that really, really helps. And why should we care about that? Why should we care about sharpening one another? Because we're at war. And like soldiers in a battle, we need to be able to depend on one another. I need to know, I tell Mike and Dean this, I need to know that you have my back. I need to know that you're behind me, no matter what happens. Satan loves artificial harmony, because then we are so stagnant and ineffective. He does not want us to grow in Christ, and growth happens on the battlefield. He just wants us to pretend and talk about it, but not really do anything about it. So we need to be reproving and receive reproof. We need to reprove ourselves and ask forgiveness. We want to avoid if we want to avoid reproof and correction, just apologize first. That's like reproving yourself. That's the best way, and it just, then it's done. There's no artificial harmony. There's real harmony. There's real peace. And what's the we find that our friendships and our family is strengthened by getting through difficult conflicts. Even we find that in business relationships. If you have a client that's upset with you and you resolve it in a good way, they're likely to come back to you. You as a customer, you ever had a problem with a grocery store or a restaurant, but they're quick to resolve it? Boy, you're probably going to go back there. It's like, wow, they care about me. There was conflict, but we got through it together. But nothing hurts more than unresolved conflict. And when it does not get resolved, we turn to other methods to resolve it, like gossip, slander, anger, hatred, and ultimately, which leads to division. We talked about apologizing. Is if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So is the church. What does the Lord command us then to do? Well, here's one that talks about how the whole thing of reproof works. Here's what He commands. If your brother sins against you, and let me tell you that includes sister. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Most 99.9% of conflict within the church should end here. And it should end, and that's usually where it does. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or more, three witnesses. This is extremely rare you would get to this point, but it occasionally happens. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen to even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and tax collector. So that's talking about church discipline. It rarely, rarely ever happens. And I've done this for a long time, and people always get concerned about verse 16 and 17, and you never really get there. It all happens at number 15, all of it, almost all of it. It's so very rare, it just doesn't really go there if you take care of it in 15. If you take care of it right up front at 15, but if you let it linger, then it gets into 16 and 17. Where I see it go there, where I see it go to 16 and 17 is where it gets complicated. Where it gets complicated by gossip and slander, and there are things that are uncovered, more that's uncovered, that shows where a person's heart really is. Let me go back to the second article written by Caleb Yeadon. He says, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:13 to make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. The enemy would like nothing more than to rip apart the church from the inside. If we keep Christians stuck and divided in their pain, then they will not be as effective as they can for the gospel. When we feel like it would be best for us to leave the people we call the church, we should endure and fight for peace. We need to take our pain to the Lord and let Him heal our wounds. Knowing that God Himself cares about us, we should strive for unity and humbly consider others better than ourselves. We can believe the best of people around us and assume the best about their motives. There are times when we need to have loving, honest, humble conversations with whomever has offended us. We need to extend forgiveness and seek reconciliation. This can be the very best thing for us to stay and work through it with the people next to us. These people may become our closest friends. Let us endure in hope, church. The endurance will grow our character. It will grow our hope for salvation, and that hope will be never disappoint. I really like that. So, with that, what's the steps? So, how do you do reproof? So, these can be done in any order. They're not really steps. They're just things to remember. The first thing I would say is always, what does the first thing say? It says, do it privately. Do it alone, right? This does not say, go and talk to everyone first and get counsel about how to talk to the person. Because that's just involving other people that don't need to be involved. Let's say you were offended by someone. Why does everybody else need to know about that? It says, go to them in private. It does not say, generate lots of gossip first. It doesn't say, do that. Proverbs 13:11, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets, and he who is trustworthy conceals a matter. In Proverbs again, he who conceals a transgression seeks love, and he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. That's the danger by not making it private. We can work on this, you know, we can all work together on this as a church, and love concurs that all this is how Satan, when love occurs, when it doesn't occur, this is how Satan likes to divide, as these little things. He's like, well, a piece at a time, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. It is a very, very effective weapon. So we want to do that privately and lovingly. Second thing, get all the facts. Let's say you weren't involved, but you know about it, and you feel like, well, maybe I'm the one that needs to reprove it, like an elder, usually pastor, sometimes it comes to us on this. So this is so important to make sure you understand all the facts. I've been amazed at how many times I think, well, I better talk to this person about this to see what their motive really was, and it was just a total misunderstanding, right? This is not to say, this again says, don't generate lots of gossips. Don't have to do a full investigation. You don't have to be Sherlock Holmes and Watson figuring this all out. Just get the facts, and usually from the person themselves. And that's when you'll figure out what's really going on. Listen to them first before you make a judgment. Like, situation comedies are all about this, right? It's like misunderstandings gone crazy. And that's a great storytelling method, but you don't want your life to become a situation comedy. But it can happen in real life, and it does happen. And it's a great way for bad situations to become diffused. Or, if we don't get the facts, it's a great way for bad situations to become much, much worse. In 2 Corinthians 13, he talks about examining yourselves. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And this concept appears several times in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The idea of gathering all the evidence before you go crazy. Be prepared to confess and ask for forgiveness for your part in causing. If you were involved in this conflict, apologize first. Boy, I find that really diffuses the situation. Here's the verses that talk about that. Finally, all you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Just, you don't have to come in with guns blazing. We did that yesterday in the Nerf Wars. But we don't have to do that in personal reproof. Another verse, 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no division among you, but that you be united of the same mind and same judgment. And a little later in 2 Corinthians, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. It says live in peace. That does not just mean artificial harmony. Peace is something you have to work for. Peace is something you have to work hard for, and it has conflict in it. And then finally, this is kind of just a sub thing, is make a commitment to reprove and corrective conflict. Make a commitment to do this yourself, is to make sure if there's a conflict, I'm going to do these steps. If there's something I see someone stumbling in, I'm going to bring it up to them. This is the hard part, is face it with courage. And I get it that it's hard. It can be uncomfortable. I get it. The Lord says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. I've commanded this. I'll be with you if you do it. Be honest. Honestly, be clear and concise and honest. People appreciate it when you are upfront with them. Not shooting from the hip. I'm not talking about sloppy honesty. It's like, this is the way I see it. No shooting, right? No shooting. We don't need to shoot. Just honest. Be loving. Right? We reprove and correct so that we can grow and can grow together, not so that they stop being a brother. It's to build up build up the body. Sensitively, be careful and cautious and sensitive to where the person is. And finally, do it decisively. do it. Don't be half-cocked. Don't be clear on what you're trying to say and be prepared to say that. So with that, in that sheet that I handed out, there's some questions. And I don't want you to do this right now, but this week, I would like you to maybe look through these questions and answer them yourself, for yourself. And at the end, there's a little prayer. This is suggested by the book, and I'd like us to maybe just do that right now, and then we'll have the music team come up. And let's just pray this together. I'll pray, and then you can agree with it if you wish. So, Lord Jesus, I confess that many times I'm a coward when it comes to dealing biblically with conflict. I admit it is difficult to trust you with the outcomes of speaking the truth in love. Please help me, by your Spirit, to be more interested in what you think and about what others think than about what others think if I choose to engage in necessary confrontations. Give me the Holy Spirit boldness to speak out for you. In your name we pray. Amen. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing a song, then we'll do a break in a bread, and then one more song at the end.
Greg, really appreciate that. The aim of the church is to mature each other in Christ. That's our utmost goal, and it's a beautiful thing when brothers dwell in unity. It's so amazing how many problems or perceived problems in the church are solved by just two people working through that conflict together, getting them in a room together, and let's talk it out.